Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished professional from the world of podcasting from Singapore, Prarthana Sibbal. Prarthana, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ashutosh. It's great to be here.
Thank you. Prarthana is the head of business development of Pikkal and Company, which is a B2B podcast agency. I hope I have the pronunciation of Pikkal correct. Prarthana, let's talk of Pikkal and Company. Tell me a little bit about this venture and the work you do.
Yeah, Ashutosh. So we started about 4 years back when we were still doing our founders' main podcast as a podcast production company itself. His podcast is called Asia Tech Podcast. We completed about 500 episodes within 1.5 years on that podcast. And we started getting a lot of requests from corporates itself saying that it's fine, we can get our CEOs on your podcast, but how about this? Can we create our own podcast as well? Can you help us create our own media channel? And that is where it was all by accident that we started getting these requests in, that what you're doing with Asia Tech Podcast, help us do that with our own podcast. And we started getting a lot of requests from a lot of management consultancies, banks, even educational institutes and government institutes as well. And that's how we got into the world of corporate podcast. And now we have over 12 to 15 corporate accounts that we are managing, and this has been just accelerated through the times of COVID.
Fascinating. So in a crowded world, because everyone seems to be a podcaster now, how does one market a podcast?
Yeah, so when it comes to marketing a podcast, Ashutosh, it's all about going for an omni-channel approach. Because you need to see that a podcast is just like writing a book. So if you're writing a book, it's completed, you still need to market it, right? So firstly, let's get that idea in our head that we still need to market the podcast. It's not like if you're going to push it out on Spotify and Apple, you'll get the organic listeners from day one. That's not going to be the case. So you need to market, especially for the first 6 months to 12 months, you need to market to your first connections and your second connections to start building your initial fan base around the podcast. The omni-channel approach that I'm referring to, that let's treat podcast as the center or the top of the content that we get. And now a lot of different content derivatives comes out of it. So for the social channels, you'll get the audio snippets, you'll get the quote cards and so on. For the website itself, which is great for SEO purposes, by the way, you can push out the full transcript there. And as you're mentioning, Ashutosh, we were just having a chat before this, and a lot of reels work very well for your podcast, right? So that is another way for a content derivative that comes out. So whenever you see podcast, don't see podcast as a standalone or one extra media channel. You need to go with an omni-channel approach to market it.
Very interesting. And you know, I'm much older, and you know, 42, 43 years of experience. Conventional marketing was always repeat purchase, right? So if you bought an FMCG product, the way someone determined whether the product was successful was that I would go back and buy the same shampoo or something over and over again. How does one build loyalty for a podcast?
Yeah, it's the same kind of a concept also when it comes to podcasts. Nowadays, we give a reference of more of a Netflix experience, which is also similar, that when someone is watching a series, they come back, they watch episode 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on, right? So that's the similar experience you want to give in the podcast, that let's say someone listens to maybe this episode because of my network, right? You would also want them to listen to the previous episodes and so on. So when it comes to the loyalty, as you're saying, it's a very noisy landscape out there. What needs to create loyalty is the content itself. So a lot of people think that it's the guest that will, if you get the celebrity guest, you'll be able to create a very good fan base. you might get a lot of listeners for that particular episode because of that celebrity guest. But if you want to if you want people to keep coming back to you, then you want to be creating very relevant content. So, and that is not something that you can you can't game it. Ultimately, you still need to make sure that in the planning phase of your podcast, you are aligning your podcast objectives, your business objectives, along with what kind of messaging that listeners want to listen to.
What a great response. And it's so true. We've tried celebrity guests and their response, their viewership is significantly lower than someone who has very strong content.
Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. Very well said. So, Pratha, again, so for someone who's got such an amazing platform that you people are building, what are some of the challenges a lot of podcasters face?
Yeah, Ashutosh, the main two challenges are, the first one is that the podcast host itself, especially when we work with the corporate setting, the first question I get is, okay, who's going to be the podcast host? Mm. Or, okay, I want my chairman to be the podcast host, but he can't do it consistently. Mm. So that is where the process can break, or they can go into a pod fade phase in which they, after six episodes, they are realizing, wait, why did we start it in the first place? So that's why having the host commitment from the beginning itself, it's very important. Mm. In a corporate setting, there can be flexibility of, let's say, if the chairman can only be there, if he doesn't or she doesn't have a lot of time, then they can be a consistent voice in the series intro and outro.
Mm.
For podcast, but the host, the actual host of that episode, can rotate, right, between AB, 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 and so on. Okay. But still, some kind of consistency is needed.
Hmm. So
that is one of the biggest challenges. The other challenge that comes across as and when you're growing a podcast is the audience itself. So, I think the most of the people that I speak to, they have a very specific mindset that, okay, we just want to look at listeners.
Mm.
But if you're not a specific content, or you're not this American Life or the startup from the US, right? You don't need like a million downloads or so on to create a successful podcast. What you need is, let's say, as an example, even if you're getting 1,000 listeners, they are getting engaged.
Mm.
They are staying with you throughout the episode. Mm. So rather than listeners, which is a good number to look at, a metric to look at, you need to also be looking at the engagement percentage. Mm. So I think it takes quite a while for me to make other people understand the importance of the different kind of metrics, which is beyond just the listeners.
Very well said. And the other thing I have noticed, Pratha, a number of times with people who write in and say that we want to put our podcast on your platform, there isn't enough consistency. People do 10, people do 20, someone did 50 and then stopped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How important is consistency?
In fact, Ashutosh, 2050 is still okay. I'll give you example. Like during the COVID time, especially because there were so many podcasts, like people were trying it out.
Yeah.
What was happening was Apple was so fed up of this fact that only one, they were putting out just one episode under the podcast and that's it.
Wow.
So then they started creating a manual approval process in which they need to make sure you have at least 4 episodes within the bag to publish on Apple, right? Which things are getting better. So if you are, now it doesn't matter what kind of consistency, like what kind of cadence you go with, right? You might say, I only have the bandwidth of publishing one episode per month. That's it. Which is totally fine till the time you're doing it consistently.
Okay.
Because you are talking about creating a fan base and loyalty base. You need to be, kind of, your listeners need to be learning when you are going to be publishing the episode, and they should be looking forward to it. The same can happen, let's say you're publishing a weekly episode.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still build the same kind of audience till the time you're doing your cadence very consistently. Mm. And the key for that is to make sure that you are actually having a separate, and especially in corporate right. terms, there is so much of going out in the approval process from the guesting and scheduling and so on. Mm. So you need to have a separate recording schedule and a separate publishing schedule
right.
so that you can record, let's say you've got your CEO or your MD's time mm. in a month, just record 3 or 4 with them, and then you can publish based on what your cadence
correct.
Is.
Correct. Well said. So now moving to specifically to the kind of work you are doing when it mm. comes to Pickle and Company and corporate brands. My question to you is, how can corporate brands leverage podcasts to create conversations mm-hmm. at a large number of, at scale?
Yeah. So firstly, when we got into Ashutosh in this space, we very immediately found out that podcast is more of a communications play for corporates rather than a marketing play. Okay. So because the difference being that in marketing play, you're looking at a campaign, 3-4 episodes or so on, and you want immediate results out of it, which isn't the case with podcast. Podcast takes time. It's a team effort. It takes like a year or so to get into the top ranking, right, mm-hmm. within your particular category. Mm-hmm. So podcasts are an effective way to create thought leadership and brand awareness for any corporate. Mm-hmm. And there are 3 different, I would say, benefits that you can get out of podcasts, especially for your brand, right? So the first one being awareness. Mm-hmm. So it's in a way, very effective way to raise awareness of issues that matter to your organization, mm-hmm. the right audiences. Because as we saw during the COVID time, a lot of listeners or a lot of audience was expecting, as an example, the CEOs to speak up mm-hmm. because there was so much of uncertainty, not just internally, but otherwise also. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to get a very macro view from the leading organizations which are out there. And I'm talking about the leading banks and the management consultancies, Big Four and so on, mm-hmm. right? So it is very important. And especially we know right now with COP26 recently happened, there was a lot of also content coming around climate change and ESG and so on. So mm-hmm. the good part is that you can totally talk to the people who is listening to the right audience about these things that matter. Mm-hmm. The second is you can also use it as an acquisition tool. So not a direct acquisition like marketing or lead mm-hmm. generation, but you can acquire new businesses in the sense that the most direct application being you invite a client, mm-hmm. partner or a prospect to be a guest on the podcast. This experience often yields to any follow-up conversations mm-hmm. and more indirectly also you can use your podcast as a tool to showcase your work to a wider network. Mm-hmm. So this is what we call as, let's say if a one of our client wants to showcase their case study. So mm-hmm. they get there rather than saying that, oh, we have helped this client do this. They very subtly say this is their journey. And then when listeners resonate with them, they reach out. And the third one being influence. So research shows that, podcast listeners are younger, they're more highly educated and more likely to occupy a very high leadership positions than the average population. So that means that your conversations are reaching definitely the right people. And unlike these press releases, webinars, and, social media videos and all those things, podcast tends to have a higher level of engagement. And I think that is what the corporates are looking at. Just imagine they can create this fan base for their, brand love for their brand.
Fantastic. And there's also a lot of talk about being able to create thought leadership. Mm-hmm. I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So with the thought leadership now, what happens, Ashutosh, the way thought leadership was done previously, mm. I would say, in fact, pre-COVID and post-COVID has totally changed. Mm. Pre-COVID, there were research being done, white papers being created, put it out on the website, share it with your partners and so on. Now actually listeners are expecting the leaders to actually dive deeper into the white papers mm. and give the story behind it. Mm. So expecting the authors who wrote the white papers to actually give you a deep dive. Mm. Now with thought leadership, they are also expecting not just, I would say, directed videos or audios, they are mm. expecting authentic conversations. So mm. the difference being the difference between this video that we are recording and the otherwise a 1 minute video would be the 1 minute video is scripted, right? Mm-hmm. This is still a very conversational format that we are going with. So that's why the thought leadership wise, they're looking at very authentic conversations. And the key here is conversation, because they don't, the listeners are not looking at thought leadership from a very scripted way. Otherwise, they can also find it on the website.
Absolutely. There's enough and more data information available. Well said. Mm-hmm. The other part I wanted to ask you was that how should podcasts be a part of the public relations strategy of an organization?
So podcast as a starting point, especially when it's in the first, let's say we treat the first six episodes as a proof of concept, and especially if it is your, if the, it is an organization's first podcast, you can look at getting as guest, you can look at getting your clients or your internal people on board. But when you go beyond these six episodes, then you can take a step forward and start even getting the media folks involved. We work with clients in which they get a lot of, let's say, the journalist from Bloomberg involved commenting on mental health, or a journalist from any other countries involved, just to get a better picture, because ultimately they have research, they have done the content, and that is a good way for engagement. You're not selling, you're not selling an idea, you're just sharing it. It's becoming a knowledge sharing platform. So that is one of the ways that you can take it out to the media, rather than just keeping it concise within your people itself. When it comes to also other type of public relations strategy with the podcast itself, you need to look at podcasting from a perspective that it is a starting point of your content piece. So let's say you can create articles out of your podcast and those particular themes. Let's say you have even done a batch of three episodes, right? You can create articles out of it, and that is what goes out to you can pitch to HBR and so on.
Interesting. So my next question to Pratna is that there is a lot of debate on video versus audio for podcasts, and of course both. I mean, the brand called You is both audio and video. I'd love to get your perspective on, should it be only audio, should it be only video, should it be both, and what is working better with the young audience?
Yeah, so Ashutosh, I do have some numbers with me. So just to share that with your audience as well. So the average YouTube video attention span is about 80 seconds. And Facebook, Twitter are in fact shorter. But when it comes to the podcast listeners, 45% of the podcast listeners are listening to at least 75% of each episode. And with a business episode of average length being 43 minutes, just imagine as a business, you are into someone's ears for such a very long time. When it comes to video versus audio, video, we say that rather than going into the longer form of like the full video, video is important, but from a highlights perspective, because you can push out the video snippets or any highlights on your social channels, on your YouTube channels, if they are active and so on. But ultimate aim being that if you want them to listen to the full full podcast, then they go to Apple and Spotify. The Apple and Spotify player just ensures that there's some more, as I said in the beginning, it gives more of a Netflix experience that you can go to the previous episodes and so on. So video can be a part of the strategy, but it cannot be a standalone strategy.
Interesting. My, I have time for two or three more questions with you. My next question, Pratna, is that, again, there's a lot of talk about monetizing podcasts. I'd love to get your thoughts.
So this idea about monetizing the podcast or just podcast in general came from the US, right? And now we see that there are a lot of brands like NPR and so on, which are creating just podcast media real estate effectively. And how they are monetizing it is in two ways. Firstly, one way is that you have great downloads, some companies reach out to you, maybe a product or a service based company, and they say, can we buy the advertising, like the slots from you on the podcast. So the slot can be in the beginning, in the middle, or towards the end, and so on. That is one way to monetize it. The other way is also as a sponsorship. So just like any other content, a corporate or any other organization can reach to you and say that, hey, Ashutosh, love your podcast. Can we sponsor 3 episodes, right? So it's a very subtle way of doing it, but still explicitly saying that this podcast is being sponsored by, right? The third way is, which is more, you don't even need to mention that there was some commercials involved, is getting a guest of that particular organization onto your podcast. So let's say you can charge your guest effectively. So these are the three, I would say, like tried and tested ways that you can monetize your podcast.
Very interesting. And my last question to you, Prartha, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. Based on all your experience, what would you say are 3 lessons for podcasting that our viewers and listeners should take away from our conversation?
Yeah, sure. So as we say in a podcast, we do like 3 phases effectively. There's planning, production, and performance review. So when we're doing these 3 phases, let me give you like a three lessons for one for each, right?
Yeah.
So when it comes to podcasting, don't start with worrying about your mics immediately. Start with firstly this understanding, why are you doing this podcast in the first place? What kind of messaging do you want to get across? Is there anyone else doing similar thing out there, maybe in a different country or so on? But you need to have an alignment between why you're doing it, what your objectives is, and whether the podcast is going to move a needle in your business or not. Because if it is not moving a needle, within 6 episodes in or so on, you won't have the motivation to go ahead with it. So that is more from a planning point of view. That is a key to get started on any podcast project. When it comes to the production, people can forgive a bad video, but people cannot forgive a bad audio. You will instantly see a drop off. So you still need a mic setup. You still need to do the mic test with your guests, making sure they have a good setup. Because ultimately, if someone is only listening to you as in audio format, they would want a very clear and very, and that's how they'll get engaged with the content rather than any technical difficulties. The third one, which is the performance review, look at the holistic performance review and put the metrics phase by phase. So let's say phase one, you're concentrating on subscribers and your audience numbers. Phase two, start concentrating on your engagement percentage. And phase three, where you are expecting more organic audience to come in, then you start focusing on your Apple Podcast ranking or Spotify ranking as an example. So treat it like a phase. Don't expect all the results to come in within the first proof of concept of 6 episodes. So yeah, that is what I will say.
Fascinating. Prartha, on that note, thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about your amazing journey as a business development leader for podcasts. Thank you for talking to me about so many new things that I learned today. About podcasting and how you market it and how you monetize it. And thank you for the amazing 3 lessons for podcasters. So thank you again and good luck.
Great. Thanks, Ashutosh. Great.
Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.